Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
That's right. It's Thursday and time to Listen In with KNN. Now, today's show is dedicated to the WizKids. That's right, Washington, D.C., and Washington Wizards fans, I'm putting the national spotlight on you today. Today, I'll be joined by radio color analyst Glenn Consor because it's radio party time. All right, that means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sports Person Award nominee.
All right, it's time for Kelsey's Do Good Sports Organization of the Week segment. For today, I have the honor and privilege of honoring a group right here in the DMV entitled Royal Athletes, where their motto is, we don't work, we grind. I mean, how could you not get behind something like that? And I'm honoring them because they provide after-school activities throughout the Maryland, D.C., and Virginia schools for fall, winter, spring, and summer. And most recently, the group held their annual Thanksgiving Feed the Homeless event. Now, today I have the honor and privilege of being joined by Mr. Prince Botchway, who is the president, founder, and the brains behind Royal Athletes. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Prince to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for this, Kelsey. I really appreciate it.
No problem. So, I mean, let's first get into telling the listeners, I mean, what is Royal Athletes and what first inspired you to start it?
So Royal Athletes is a youth sports organization. We offer summer camps. We offer summer clinics. But we also offer after-school activities. And we offer a lot of free stuff for the community, such as community walks. Because I realized that in order to get our youth active, us as parents need to make sure that we're up and fit and, you know, we'll be able to keep up with our kids. So our community walks are for all ages. We also offer a lot of grind challenge. We had a grind challenge, which is for everyone, and we post it on Facebook, and that's when, you know, we come up with different workouts and exercises for everyone to do as well.
Wonderful. I mean, I think it's so great. I think, you know, the whole community needs activities and organizations like yours, so I commend you for starting it. But then something I saw on social media, and you talked about social media, I saw your annual Thanksgiving Feed the Homeless event, which is outside of Union Station, and I thought that was just so great that you guys were doing that. So tell me a little bit about the motivation behind starting that event.
So around this time of the year, around the holidays, it's usually time for everyone to be with their families and, you know, have a good time. And it's always about, you know, Thanksgiving. So we just take time to just give back to the needy, give back to the, you know, to our community. And which takes me into our upcoming event. We're also having a sport clinic at a detention center coming up for Christmas. We're definitely looking forward to that as well.
That's great. Well, tell people, how can they find out more information about your organization?
So you can go to our website, royal-athletes.com, royal-athletes.com, as well as our social media, royal_athletes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again so much for joining me, and congratulations once again on being awarded Kelsey's Do Good Athlete. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
And it's
now time. No problem.
I just want to give a shout-out to my wife. You know, she is our vice president, and, you know, she runs the day-to-day operations of everything.
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't be able to do it without her. So, Maya Botchway, give a shout-out to her as well as my entire staff because I work at a Pinecrest school. I'm a physical education teacher and a health teacher as well as Episcopal. So none of this would be possible without my staff. So I want to give a big shout-out to my staff.
Well said, and I love how you started that off with the wife. It's happy wife, happy life.
Exactly.
I think that's wonderful. And you said it can't be done without the help of others.
Exactly, as well as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. None of this will be possible without him at all. So thank you so much again, Kelsey.
No problem. Thank you again so much. And for the listeners, we're now going to take you to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch, and if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Welcome back to Listen In with K&N, where we give you sports talk like you've never heard before. It's now that time to welcome my very special guest to the show, Mr. Glenn Consor. Now, if you've been down to the Capital One Arena to see the Wiz Kids play or follow along with the team on the road to show your Wizard spirit, then you've seen this guy leading the way and delivering all the latest Wizards news. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Glenn Consor to the show. Glenn, how are you?
I am fine. I'm happy to be with you.
Thank you so much. And for those that don't know, Glenn is on the road traveling with the Wizards, so we're very delighted to have him here. But it's perfect because we're going to get into some hoop talk, and who better to have than someone who's watching the team right now on their road trip. So for people that don't know you, Glenn, I'm quickly going to run through your introduction before we get into the show.
Sure.
So during the 2017-2018 season, this marks Glenn Consor's 10th season as the color analyst and post-game call-in show host on the Washington Wizards radio network, alongside 20-year play-by-play veteran Dave Johnson. So basically, if you've been in the DMV and if you've been a Wizards fan, you've heard this guy's voice. Consor brings over two decades of experience covering the Wizards to the booth. After 18 years covering the Wizards for various media outlets, most recently for NBCSW, as an analyst on the network's live post-game show, Consor added a new perspective of watching the Wizards to his resume during the 2007-2008 season. Previously from 1990 to 95, Consor was a scout for the Wizards franchise and the Indiana Pacers. In addition to his work with the Wizards, Consor has served as a basketball analyst for NBA TV, Home Team Sports, ESPN's regional college basketball broadcast, Sports Talk 980, Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament, and NBCSW's collegiate broadcast. He's a fixture on monumentalnetwork.com and provides periodic Wizards analysts for CSN, as well as served as Wizards camp director in the summer of 2009 for 2U's basketball camp. So basically, he's everywhere that the Wizards are and more. So you've had to see him. In his playing days, Consor started for 4 years for Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino at Boston University before playing professionally in Israel. He's originally from Flushing, Queens, New York. He currently resides in Rockville, Maryland. Shout out to my MoCo people with his wife, Mira, and his two sons, Kenny and Johnny. So without further ado, Glenn, I mean, wow, you've done so much. And I mean, just tell me, I mean, how is it now covering the Wizards team since you used to be on the other side of the ball as a player?
Well, it's been a privilege, and it's been a humbling experience. I mean, it's you know, I've taken, you know, everybody's, you know, you're just starting your career out, and there's different ways of getting to certain places. I've taken a whole bunch of different paths. I really started out doing 100% television and doing college basketball games. And while I was doing college games, I was an NBA scout. And, you know, my career with that went really more into broadcasting. So it was an interesting experience or path, maybe somewhat not conventional, because I really went from TV to radio because this thing opened up with the Wizards to call live games. I mean, I was doing the post-game shows for years, for like 7 years for Comcast at the time and Home Team Sports. And there's a big difference between, you know, sitting in a studio and analyzing a game after it, and that was fun and it was great, but there's nothing like calling a live game. So I took that opportunity and went from television to radio, which you know, has been a wonderful experience. And I still do pregame, you know, television hits with you know, NBC Washington and those guys. So I'm still getting a little bit of TV. So you know, it's I'm real happy with where I'm at right now.
Good. Well, you know, let's get into it. I'm glad that you're happy. I'm happy to have you on. And I always like to kick off my show, Glenn, with my Doing It Big in the DMV segment, which is going to be easy for you because we're going to start off with the Washington Wizards. Now, for those who haven't seen, the Wizards bounced back in Portland Tuesday after losing to the Utah Jazz by 47 points, making it their second worst loss in franchise history, which was 52 points, which was back in 1971. wow. I mean, I don't know what happened in Utah, Glenn, but the way they bounced back in Portland, I mean, it was magnificent to see. Of course, Bradley Beal kind of was the big star of the game with 51 points, a new career high for him. But tell me, I mean, since you were there, what difference did you see in the team from that Utah Jazz game to the Portland game?
It was amazing. I mean, I don't, you know, it's funny. Calling that Utah game for me as an analyst was very difficult.
I'm sure.
You know, it's easy as an analyst to call games when things are going well. But that game, man, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I was, you know, I was dumbfounded. I was speechless. It was, you know, I kept saying, I even said maybe four or five times during the broadcast, I don't know what to say because it was lackluster. There was no physicality. There was no concentration. It was like the perfect storm. You know, it's kind of like when, and we all have days like this, all of us do, when nothing goes right. You know, you get in your car, you go in, you know, you're going to work, you spill coffee on yourself, then you get into a fender bender, and then, you know, you screw something up at work and make horrible mistakes, then you come home and, you know, there's a leak in your ceiling and the day's over and you go, wow, what a day. It was one of those types of games where everything was wrong. And Utah, give them credit. They were unbelievable. I mean, they put on a clinic and, you know, it was, you know, I was an old fashioned tushy whooping. I mean, they just they pounded on the Wizards and were relentless, as they should have been. For the Wizards to come back against Portland in that scenario after getting barbecued by Utah, and, you know, within less than 24 hours to, you know, have that, you know, in your brain knowing you got, you know, thumped like that, where Portland didn't play since Saturday, so they were fresh, they were ready to go. You know, we didn't have John Wall. Teams were loading up on Bradley Beal, and look what happened. I mean, it's kind of, Kelsey, what makes sports so great? You just don't know. And quite frankly, and this is a different take, but it's why Las Vegas exists. You know, people were probably betting, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that the Wizards were going to get thumped again because you can't come back and you're on the road and you don't have John Wall and Portland's
all
healthy.
All the odds were against them.
Everything was against them and they came back. And it was right from the start, they played with great physicality, which wasn't there in Utah the night before. They were locked in. Bradley obviously played truly an amazing game. The way he played, Kelsey, was like, he had 51 points. And I don't know if you saw the game, but it was not your typical 51 points. It wasn't ball dominant. He didn't pound the ball. He didn't take bad shots. All his shots came within the rhythm of the game.
It was smart basketball for him.
Yeah, he was patient. It was like a patient 51 points. And that is not easy to do when you put up that many numbers. He took all good rhythm shots. He didn't take bad shots. And he probably could have had, you know, 70 if he would have, you know, even shot more, or he even missed some open looks. So they just had no answer for him, and he was on a roll.
And it was nice to see that, I think, because as you said, I mean, after getting beat that bad, and for people that don't know, I mean, Utah was, they have just been a steamboat. I mean, Utah, since November 18th, they beat Orlando by 40. They had beat Chicago by 30, Denver by 29, Clippers by 19, and, of course, the Wizards by 47. They had been rolling, so it's hard to come off a bad loss like that on the road and go to Portland, as you said, for a team that was rested. And, I mean, against Utah, Glenn, they shot 29%. I mean, that's crazy, but I think that Portland game has helped to renew them. The Wizards are now 13-11 on the season. They are seventh in the East, but I think that will continue to go up. But now I want to talk about John Wall, because as you said, I mean, we've been talking about Bradley Beal, but for so long, you know, it's always been the John Wall conversation. I mean, he's been out the lineup now for six games, and a lot of people didn't know what the Wizards could do without, you know, a star like John Wall. Now, the team had announced he would be out for 2 weeks back on November 25th. After he received the platelet-rich plasma injections into his knee that was injured before. But basically, I mean, tell me, do you think this is the same Wizards team without John Wall? Because they are 3-3 without Wall, which isn't bad, right? That's mediocre. But John Wall has been since 2010, and he's been that driving force. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's not the same team. I mean, I think they're doing well without John, with the exception of that Utah game. But, you know, look, this team has to make adjustments. John Wall is a, you know, an elite player in this league, and if not the best, you know, overall point guard in the league. You know, and what he brings to the table for the Wizards is, you know, pace and tempo and pop. And when you don't, you lose that when you don't have that. You can't replicate that. You can't, you know, Tim Frazier's not John Wall. Satoransky's not John Wall. You know, so, you know, this team's had to make adjustments. Defensively, teams are loading up on Brad because they're saying, all right, you know, if we lock Brad down, you know, who's going to beat us? And, you know, there's different schemes to that. But, you know, it's been, you know, it's, I think, you know, I'm hoping that during this time when the Wizards are playing without John, that the bench is getting more confident, getting more minutes, getting more established, getting more used to playing with each other in different lineups. And, you know, guys like Kelly Oubre and Tim Frazier and Satoransky, and Mike Scott was phenomenal. Mike Scott was so efficient in the 18 minutes that he played last night. So guys like that are stepping up, and I think that's going to pay off maybe hopefully in March, April, May.
Right. I mean, you talked about the bench has been crucial. They need to step up, especially with John Wall out. And I love that you said Mike Scott. I don't think he gets enough credit. I mean, I think, yes, of course, Kelly Oubre always gives you some solid points off the bench, and he is a solid player. But Mike Scott has been really playing some great basketball in the time that he's playing. But for the fans that don't know, when Wall is playing, the Wizards are averaging 110.6 points per possession, which would rank third in the NBA. But with him off the court, that offensive rating drops down to 99.8, which would rank 26. So that kind of just tells you Wall's importance. And then before his injury, he was averaging 20.3 points and 3.4 rebounds per game. He leads the Wizards and is third in the NBA with 9.2 assists. Of course, not having John Wall is big, but I think with that big Portland win, I mean, it was so great seeing Bradley Beal getting showered in the locker room after with the water bottles. It just told you, I mean, how great the Wizards, I think, can be. And it's great to continue to see Bradley Beal, of course, you know, provide that leadership, especially with John Wall out. But, I mean, just tell me, are you still worried about Bradley Beal and his health? Because that has always kind of plagued him his entire career. What, let's just say, what if Bradley Beal does get injured and he's hurt? I mean, can the Wizards still be a great team, of course, when John Wall returns to the lineup? Or do you think they need to?
You know, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, you're losing, you know, Bradley Beal's going to be an all-star this year. He keeps playing this way. He's an all-star, which means he's elite. And, you know, you can't replace guys like that. So that's a tough question to answer. I mean, you know, guys are going to have to step up if he does get hurt. But, he played, you know, the whole thing with Bradley with injuries. Last year, he played most of the season without, you know, missing games. And the year before, no, it wasn't the case. The year before that, no, it wasn't the case. So, you know, he's still very young. He's 24 years old. He's, you know, his body's still maturing and getting stronger. And look, injuries, look what happened to Steph Curry last night. You know, he turned an ankle. Right. He's going to be out 2 weeks. And he's had a history of ankle problems. So usually ankles are no big deal. But for him, it might be. Injuries are, it's the luck of the draw, man, or misluck of the draw. You know, you're going to have them. It's going to happen to every team in the NBA. And you just got to try to have to figure it out. But, you know, you can't really, I can't really comment. I can't even think of, you know, John or Brad getting hurt because it will be dramatic for the Wizards if that happens.
Right. I mean, we wish the best for him, obviously. We hope John gets back. We hope Bradley Beal stays healthy. And I think the Wizards are going to keep rolling. They're not going to stay in that seventh place spot, I don't think, for long. But another big thing coming out of Washington, Glenn, was the announcement of the Capital City Go-Go team. Now, the team's name was revealed earlier this week, and they will be the NBA G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards, and they will begin play in the 2018-2019 season. Now, Glenn, as a native of this area, I love the name because, of course, everybody knows how important Go-Go has been to D.C. When you think of Go-Go, you think of D.C. since it was born here. You know, you have people like Chuck Brown, I mean, the Young Senators, Rare Essence, just so many names. But I just want to ask you, I mean, how big is this for the Wizards to finally get this G League team? What will it do for the franchise overall, do you think?
I think it's it was so necessary, and kudos to, you know, Ted Nerney and Tommy Shepard for making it work. I think you need to have your own D League team. I mean, you need to start nurturing young talent. I mean, the percentage of NBA players that have played in the D League, it's a very surprising number. It's a number you probably wouldn't expect. I think it's something like 75 or 70% have had stints in the NBA, which is remarkable, and you don't think of it that way. And because of that, the Wizards are going to take advantage of that, have their own team, have their own coaching staff and player development guys there that could help, you know, develop players. Now, not every, if you're on a D League team, it doesn't mean you're going to stay with that team because trades happen and things happen, but it's an opportunity to develop young talent and nurture those, you know, those guys that are on the cusp of playing in the NBA. I do love the name. I think it's really cool. You know, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a New York guy, so I didn't grow up around here. And when I moved to D.C., you know, I come from a music family, so I got into go-go, and I think it's so cool that it's a reflection of really the culture. So the name choice was terrific.
Right. I mean, I think you said it. I think it was great. I think a lot of the native residents of D.C. love the name because, of course, D.C. is changing, but they love that the team name reflects the culture that has been there for so long. And for fans that want to see them, they will play their 24 home games at the brand-new state-of-the-art venue on the campus of the former St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Southeast Washington, D.C., which will open in 2018. But before I move on, Glenn, I just want to ask you, I mean, do you think the residents here in the nation's capital, will they buy on to going to support this G League team like they do the Washington Wizards? Or do you think it'll take a little bit of time, you know, for people to kind of rally behind them and go out and support them?
Yeah, I think they will support them. I think it's going to rejuvenate, you know, that locale, and I think like the Capital One Arena, you know, revitalized downtown DC. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be great. And you know, one thing that's great about DC, and you know, not growing up here, I grew up in New York, and New York's a basketball town. Well, DC's a basketball town, so I think you know, this is a town that craves more basketball. So you know, essentially, you know, what's happening now is we're giving it to them. So you know, you got the Wizards, you got the Mystics, you got all the teams that are good college basketball wise here in Georgetown and Maryland and GW and AU and all those teams and Mason. And now you're just giving, you know, more product. So I think this is a basketball town and it will be embraced.
I completely agree. I don't think anyone will say no to more basketball here in D.C. I think it's just going to be something that's great to watch. And I'm looking forward to going to see some games. But now I want to transition into my Kelsey's Across the Nation segment. And Glenn, this is one I think that has taken everybody by surprise. The NBA is going vegan. I mean, it's like every time I get on social media, I see a new player that is dropping all animals and animal products from their diet to go vegan. And I think it's really interesting because I think it's a big generation thing. Recently, Charles Barkley has said that there's no such thing as a vegetarian. And, of course, I know that's different than a vegan, but basically I think the old school guys, you know, you don't even think about going vegan or vegetarian. It's kind of like a new health craze. But, I mean, as we see more players like Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers, I mean, Enes Kanter of the New York Knicks, all of these guys are adopting these vegan lifestyles and just talking about the change that it's brought in their health. Denver Nuggets forward Wilson Chandler was actually one of the first active NBA players to adopt a vegan diet. But, I mean, tell me, do you think this is kind of the right way for players to go? And, I mean, how do you think it'll change their game with this new vegan diet?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to change their game, but I think there's a direct correlation to, you know, to NBA players trying to prolong their careers. You know, and that's been a big change, you know, that we've seen over the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years in the NBA. You know, we saw it with years ago with a guy by the name of Robert Parrish, who played, you know, into his late 30s for the Boston Celtics, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who those guys were doing yoga before anybody else was doing yoga to stretch their muscles out. You know, we saw Tim Duncan in the late years of his career lose all that weight and played a number of years. His body looked totally different. LeBron, Carmelo, those guys dropped all this weight. So I think it's that, you know, trend of, you know, whatever it takes to prolong your career to, you know, to stay in the NBA and stay healthy and live a healthy lifestyle. You know, it's yoga, it's, you know, it's your diet, it's you know, different weightlifting regimens that change almost like every couple of years, and stretching, and what do you stretch, and what muscles, what don't you stretch, and you know, it's all changing. So I think this whole vegan thing is part of it, and if the players feel that they're, you know, going to gain something from it, I think it's a very positive thing.
Right. I mean, I think anytime you change your diet for the better, it's going to only help you. And as you said, I mean, what player doesn't want to prolong their career, right? The NBA is great. It's fun. And every player probably wants to be in it as long as they can. I think it's great. You know, they're trying this vegan thing. It seems to be working. I love Inez Kanter's reason for going vegan. He said he looked in the mirror one day and said he needed a bra. So that's when he knew he needed to change his diet. And then Kip Anderson, who created the documentary What the Health, he actually joked that the NBA will soon be called the NVA for the National Vegan Association. So it's definitely something that's catching on. I don't know if everybody will do it. I give them props. Me personally, Glenn, I cannot stay away from Chick-fil-A and a good chicken sandwich or a burger. But I give them props. I've tried it a couple times. I don't think it's going to work for me. But if it works for the NBA players, I am all for it.
Well, you know, you might change your tune, Kelsey, as you get older, because you're still young.
You think? Probably. You sound like my parents. They're always like, oh, you eat all that food now. But they're like, when you get older, you know, you'll probably change it. You're probably right. So I guess I better enjoy these chicken sandwiches while they last.
There you go. There you go.
I now want to move into my biggest headlines in sports. I want to go back to the East and talk about the Cavaliers. Glenn, they've won 12 straight. And this is a Cleveland Cavaliers team at the beginning of the season. Some people said, you know, they really couldn't get it together. But some of the biggest news I think I want to start with was the fact that Derrick Rose has said he will be returning to the team after he took a personal leave of absence. So before I go into the team, I want to ask you, since it already has been said from Coach Lou that he will return to the bench and he'll share point guard duties with Dwayne Wade. I mean, how big of an announcement, and how will this impact the Cleveland team that really has been red hot? Or do you think Derrick Rose really won't be a major factor in his return to Cleveland?
Well, I think Derrick Rose will be a factor. I mean, he's such a he's been an enigma because of all his injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy's been
so
injury prone, and it's been very difficult for him to stay healthy. But it's bizarre because just when you think he can't be the old Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch him in games, he shows flashes of the old
Derrick
Rose.
Right, the flashes of it. Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And then, you know, they'll go away a little bit and then they'll come back. And so that's kind of where he is. So I think they'll be able to use him, you know, come playoff time. But, you know, the thing about the Cavaliers is, you know, Isaiah Thomas is not there yet. And that's how good this team is. So, you know, once he gets into the mix and, you know, and they incorporate him into their system and the players get used to playing with him and, you know, the chemistry with LeBron and all that stuff, if it works, I mean, this team is loaded. They're deep and, you know, and they're strong in every position. And you know what, you know, come January trade deadline, I mean, I still think that there's trades that could be made. You know, for even with the Wizards, who knows? I mean, you know, there's still the league's going to look differently after the trade deadline. So you just never know what's going to happen.
I mean, I think you said it so well. The Cavs are deep. I mean, they probably have one of the best benches right now in the NBA. And then I think something they don't get enough credit for is the great defense that they've been playing. I think, you know, we see all these big names on the team. And yes, you know, they're offensive. But Cleveland held Chicago to just 41.5% shooting from the field and 26.5% from behind the arc. That just kind of tells you, wow, you know, what they did specifically their last game. And then they posted 100.1 defensive rating on the night. And, of course, Dwayne Wade had a great night against his hometown team. He put up 24 points, and LeBron was LeBron. And then, of course, you have Kevin Love. So, I mean, tell me, Glenn, if you're based on the NBA season right now, I mean, do you think, again, we'll see the teams in the East competing against Cleveland to go to the championship, or do you still think it's too early to tell?
I do. I think you got to get past Cleveland. Now, you know, what you and I just talked about a little while ago, injuries, you know, who's going to stay healthy on that team? Who's not? You know, but they're the type of team that's built where, you know, now if LeBron goes down, it's a whole different story because LeBron is the best player maybe any one of us has ever seen, including Michael, including Jordan, including Kobe. I mean, the guy is just such a dominant player physically and mentally that he skews everything. So if he goes down, yeah, that's a whole different, you know, ball of wax. But, you know, I think they can withstand really anybody else going down because they're so deep. So I think you got to get past Cleveland. I think Boston's playing phenomenal, you know, without Gordon Haywood. And, you know, maybe he'll be back this year. Who knows? But Boston's playing very well. They are young and they're, you know, they play very good defense and they're also very deep. So, you know, I think those two teams are, you know, are very, but I also think the Wizards can, when they play well, I think can beat those teams. But, you know, you got to get past them.
Of course. I mean, I think when you're in the East, you kind of know that mentality. As long as LeBron is in Cleveland, you have to get past them. And I think you're right. I think we saw it last season. The Wizards can be that great team when all the pieces are together. And I think this year, especially, something different. Their bench is even stronger. So I think that can help take them, hopefully, you know, past a team like Cleveland. But something I want to touch on, since you brought up the Boston Celtics, I mean, tell me, what was your first thoughts when you heard Kyrie was going to Boston? And then tell me now, I mean, do you think it was the right decision, which I think is kind of easy to answer?
Yeah, I mean, I look, you know, why he made that decision, he wanted to be his own man, you know, and he wanted he wanted to change. And, you know, and you know, people overanalyze that, you know, and say, oh, he didn't, you know, maybe he, you know, he didn't want to be second fiddle to LeBron and, you know, he didn't like how he was being treated. You know what? People change. People move on. People want to change. And he wanted to, you know, he wanted to be the guy. And that's good. That's a good thing. You know, you can't, no one can knock him. And look what he's doing. You know, Gordon Haywood goes down. He's carried this team. He's that good. He's another one of these, what I call, unguardable players. You can't guard that guy. He's too good.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the move, was I surprised? No. Was I surprised that he went to the Celtics? No, because the Celtics had enough to make that deal, to entice a team. Quite frankly, I don't know if Cleveland gave up enough to get him. I really don't. I think, you know, he's such an elite player that you can't just, you know, give up. Even Isaiah Thomas, I mean, look, you know, Isaiah Thomas is an elite guard in this league, very unique because of his size, but he's not Kyrie Irving. So
of course,
you know, it was a great move for Boston. It was a great move for Kyrie, and, you know, it remains to be seen if it was a great move for Cleveland.
Right. I mean, I think only time will tell, but I love it because I think this is kind of the most exciting in the past couple of seasons, that the East has been really fun to watch. And I say that because now it's not just the Cavs. You have a lot of teams really making some noise in the East, you know, and I think it's going to make this basketball, I'm going to say making basketball fun again for all fans because they know their teams can compete. But now I want to move out to the West, Glenn, where Russell Westbrook has just continued to ball out because I think he's been doing it for a long time, but he just recorded his seventh triple-double of the season with 34 points, 14 assists, and 13 boards, and he led his team to a 17-point comeback against the Utah Jazz. And, I mean, we spoke earlier how the Utah Jazz were, they've been rolling, but OKC put a stop to it. But, I mean, tell me, do you think this is Russell Westbrook? Do you think he's having an MVP type of season?
I think James Harden's having an MVP type season. You know, Russell Westbrook, you know, definitely is in there, but the Rockets are winning. OKC's not. I mean, James Harden's putting up, like, really amazing numbers.
Insane
numbers. So, you know, look, you know, OKC still has to figure it out. He's obviously such a dominant player. But, you know, that MVP is so subjective. But I don't see how, if the season stopped right now, you can't give it to James Harden.
Right, with what he's doing over there for the Rockets. I completely agree. I mean, I think Russell Westbrook, he's doing what he usually does. But again, I think it comes back to winning. And that's what the Rockets are doing with Harden. I think it makes a huge difference. And now I want to move on to somebody who's really not winning. And I mean, someone that hopes to be some of these players we're talking about. And I'm talking about LiAngelo Ball, who probably just really hasn't had the best fall, winter, November, and December months, just because of everything happening. So if people don't remember, he was the UCLA freshman basketball player who recently got into legal trouble in China while traveling with the team. And it was announced earlier this week, Glenn, that his dad, LeVar, will actually be pulling him from UCLA, and LeVar Ball told ESPN that he would not be seeking another college team and that he would instead begin preparing for the NBA draft. Of course, his brother Lonzo was the number two pick, who plays with the Lakers. And I think this was kind of a huge shock to a lot of people because we've only seen LiAngelo in preseason basketball, so we haven't even got to see him play, but now his dad's already saying he's preparing him for the NBA draft. But from what you know of LiAngelo Ball, do you think LeVar has what it takes to train him into becoming, into the NBA? And, of course, as LeVar says, getting him onto the Lakers team with his brother.
You know, pulling him out of school, I can't see that being a positive. But,
right.
You know, who am I to judge in parental skills? You know, I mean, this guy's he's obviously, so involved in, and it's so important to mm-hmm. make these kids, you know, basketball players. I mean,
right.
What happens if there's a career ending injury, then what happens to these kids? I have a little bit of a problem with that, but, these kids got to grow up, in a way that, you know, they got to do what's good for them. And, you know, who knows, you know,
right.
I haven't seen LiAngelo Ball play as much. So I'm sure mm-hmm. he's a very good player if he, you know, got a scholarship to UCLA. But to make it in the NBA is very difficult, and everybody has different paths. That being said, you know, look at all the European players that are in the NBA that didn't play in college. Brandon Jennings sure. didn't play in college. He went overseas. You know, you can take a different path. So it's hard for me to judge what LeVar Ball is doing with his kids. You know, I look at Lonzo and I love his temperament. I love how he plays. He's going to mm-hmm. get better. I just think that the hype with what his dad's doing, I'm not sure that's always going to be a positive for these kids. And I think, what I've learned raising my two boys is you got to let them be who they want to be,
right.
You know, and support that. And, you know, you don't always make the right decisions. Kids don't, parents don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's part of the journey. And I don't think you could just write a script for a kid. What I've seen when I see parents backfire is when they think they could just dictate what their kid's going to do and how to do it. And that's what LeVar seems to be doing. Now, you can make a case and say, well, he's been successful at it. Yes. But,
right.
You know, eventually he's got to back off and let these, you know, the best gift a parent can give a child is teach them independence and let them make their own decisions, right or wrong.
Right. Well, that was greatly said. If I become a parent in the future, I'm going to remember that word of advice, because I think you said that so well. You know, you have to learn your own lessons. And I mean, I think we'll see what happens. I think you're right, though. I think he is very active with his kids, but we have to remember two of them are grown men now. And I think you're right. You know, they have to make their own decisions. Only time will tell. I'm kind of like you. We don't know what can happen. As you said, I mean, players have went overseas and played and become great NBA products. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with LiAngelo Ball. I mean, I hope the Ball brothers all go to the NBA and succeed. I'm rooting for them. Like you, I have patience with Lonzo, even though a lot of people don't. But, of course, I think that kind of stems from his father and, you know, all the hype that he has given him. But, you know, only time will tell. Now I want to transition into big news that came from TMZ earlier this week, that there was an arrest made in the murder of former NBA player Lorenzen Wright. Now, if people don't know Wright, he was a star player at the University of Memphis. He was picked number 7 in the 1996 draft. And just to say how good he was picked ahead of Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash, Jermaine O'Neal. I mean, those are some big names he was picked in front of. He played 13 seasons in the NBA for the Clippers, Hawks, and Grizzlies, among others. But sometime after midnight on July 19, 2010, he was shot dead in Memphis, and his murder had remained unsolved. The case went cold for years, but there was a big break in the case last month when cops discovered a gun that they believed was used to kill Wright in a lake about 50 miles from where his body was found. And a man named Billy Turner has been arrested. So I wanted to bring this up, Glenn, just to say, I mean, how much I guess, like, for fans that were fans of Wright and just really, you know, the NBA, I think, in general, you never want to see, of course, anyone get murdered. But to have some closure, I think, that this case brings, I mean, what do you think that speaks, you know, to his legacy and to his family?
Well, you know, I think, you know, justice, you know, it took a while, but justice was
right.
Finally served. If they found him, you know, and I'm sure that his family, mm-hmm. you know, is so happy because, you know, when you can't find, I mean, I can't even relate to that. I mean, to have someone
so
like that murder someone from your family, that is so hard to think about. And Lorenzo Wright was a great player. I broadcasted mm-hmm. some of his games when he was in Memphis and in the NBA. He was a great player, but I think that from his family standpoint, hopefully it'll put it to rest. But I do also think that there's a lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't play with drugs. You can't get involved in that stuff. And supposedly
right.
there was drugs involved. And anytime, and I think the lesson, you know, that the NBA, you know, would like to, you know, obviously it's good that they found this guy, but you can't get involved in any of that stuff. And when you
right.
do, bad things happen. And, you know, and I think Lorenzo Wright's family would support that. You know, you can't get involved in any of that stuff, because when you do, you're around people that are bad people, and, you know,
right.
and you can't get caught up in that stuff.
Right. I think that's so well said, but hopefully it is some closure to the family. And I just, like I said, I had to bring that up because I think it was a case for so long. People wondered if there would ever be a close to it. So I think that's good. Congrats to the Memphis Police Department for continuing to follow up and catching this guy. So now to move on to a not so fun. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say you're 100% right. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the police are people that I tremendously support, and I do some work
yes.
with them, and those guys don't get enough credit for what they do. So kudos
they
to those
really
guys.
Don't. Yes, I completely agree. They really don't. I mean, it takes time, and they did find them. And as you said, I mean, congrats to the police for doing the job they do. It's a hard job. It's a tough job, but we salute them for what they do. Now to move on to a not-so-somber note, I want to transition to my Balling Out with Kel segment, and we kind of touched on it earlier, but some of the big news came when Steph Curry's ankle injury occurred. He was forced to leave Monday night's game between the Warriors and Pelicans when he rolled his ankle. Seeing that video, Glenn, it's still in my mind. When I saw it happen, I mean, it looked really bad. But luckily, even though the injury was serious enough to leave him on crutches, the x-rays did come back negative. But, of course, Golden State is being very cautious with their star. He will miss Wednesday night's game against the Hornets due to the injury. But luckily, the results of the MRI reportedly revealed no structural damage. Now, of course, as we talked about earlier, he's no stranger to ankle injuries. He was really pretty much plagued by them early on in his career. But, of course, now he's a Steph Curry. We know that has developed into one of the greatest shooters in NBA history. But, Glenn, they're saying he could possibly miss all of December with this ankle injury, which would be huge because, of course, Golden State and the Rockets, we talked about James Harden, are kind of battling out for that number one seed in the West. So can Golden State still be that Golden State team without Steph Curry?
Yes, they're loaded.
They
you
are.
Know, they, I mean, they are loaded. I mean, this is a team that, you know, has Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson,
mm-hmm.
prolific scorers, Draymond Green,
right.
who to me is the heart and soul of that team. I don't like his antics, and I think he's hot-headed, and there's a lot of things I don't like about Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he taunts people, and I think, you know, he gets under your skin. But would I have liked to play with him on my team? Absolutely. The guy,
right.
like to me, if he goes down, that's a problem for them because he
yes.
defensively, he could defend anyone. He's one of the mm-hmm. best defensive players in the NBA. One of the best passing big guys in the NBA.
Right.
He's a ferocious defensive player and rebounder. So they have enough to withstand Steph Curry being out, you know, in the month of December. It's not going to be a problem.
Well, that's well said. I know you just made a lot of Warriors fans out in Golden State, so a little bit more relieved because, of course, you never want to see a star go out. But I think, as you said, they are loaded. They're one of those lucky teams where you could lose a star player and still be okay. And I'm with the Warriors. You know, be cautious. Don't rush them back in. because they don't need to, because you have other sharpshooters that can still help you in games, and I think still compete with the Rockets for that number one spot. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him, but best wishes to Steph and hopefully a speedy recovery. But staying with the Warriors, I'm going to move to my Kelsey's Are You Serious Right Now segment, because I want to talk about what happened with Livingston and Kirkland. So basically, the NBA did something very significant on Monday. They suspended Golden State guard Sean Livingston for one game because he got involved in an on-court altercation with referee Courtney Kirkland. And many people were saying it was justifiable because, I mean, if you saw it, it was crazy. I mean, they basically went head-to-head with each other. But not only was Livingston suspended, the NBA also suspended Kirkland for a week over his role of what happened. Now, of course, people are saying referees have been taught for a long time, Glenn, to defuse situations and not let them get too big. And people are saying that's where Kirkland fails. So, of course, Livingston does lose a game check, but people are kind of saying, I mean, this has kind of been going on. I mean, of course, we saw Kevin Durant. He got ejected from three games already this season. And before that, he had only got kicked out of one of his first 700 games. And then LeBron James recently got ejected, his first ejection of his 15-year NBA career. Tell me, what do you kind of think is happening with this relationship between players and referees, and why are we seeing more people get ejected, and then now we see even referees get suspended?
Yeah, you know, that whole Sean Livingston Kirkland incident, I think was very bizarre to me because I don't know Kirkland. I don't know him. I've obviously seen him ref a whole bunch. It was uncharacteristic of him. He should have walked away. Instead, he went right, you know, and he didn't back off, and he needed to. You know, there's no need for that. So that's why the NBA did what they did with him. Now, Sean Livingston, who was a wizard, who I know personally, if you would line up, you know, the 365 NBA players to get a technical or to get involved in a situation like that, Sean Livingston would be in my last top 10 to do something like that. He is a gentleman. He's well-spoken. He's as good of a guy as there is. Things heat up in the heat of battle in games with players and players, with players and refs. And you have to be disciplined to walk away. You know, there's a psychology game always going on with players and refs, you know. But to me, the best thing to do is to walk away. You know, you're not going to intimidate a ref. It's just not going to happen. And that's why, you know, getting after a ref usually hurts you. But that was an unfortunate circumstance and situation because it was so uncharacteristic of Sean Livingston to do that. But it was also uncharacteristic of Kirkland. You know, like I told you, when the Wizards played Utah, it was like the perfect storm. That was like the perfect storm situation where probably two good guys just got caught up in a bad situation. And, you know, it happens. And look, you're always going to get technical fouls. The NBA's always been that way, you know, with the Rasheed Wallace's in the 90s and, you know, guys picking up technical fouls. I mean, there's guys that are that way. Draymond Green's that way. You know, the guy gets a technical almost every game. I mean, you know, they're competitive. You know, there's an old expression in business: what makes people good also hurts them. And that's why these guys get technical fouls. I mean, they're so competitive that, you know, they lose it and then it's over. And sometimes they get technical fouls in situations in the NBA where your team can't afford you to get one at that time. But that's, again, you know, what makes players good hurts them sometimes. And that is something that you can't avoid. You're always going to have it. And Kevin Durant is, you know, he's picked up a couple of technical fouls. That's a reflection of his competitiveness, you know. And, and a lot of the NBA, too, like guys don't want to get punked by other players or punked by refs. And refs don't want to get punked by players. There's the ego part of it, too. But sometimes you got to put that on the back burner. But on the other side of it, if you put it on the back burner as a player, you know, maybe you're not being competitive enough. So, you know, it's a fine line to walk at times as an NBA player.
Right. I mean, I think you said it so well. And a lot of people are now just saying, you know, they do think, though, a talk needs to be had. The National Basketball Referees Association released a statement basically saying that they regret the recent incident between Courtney Kirkland and Sean Livingston, but they said the NBRA has reached out to the National Basketball Players Association to explore ways to improve on-court communications and civility. So I think, like, it was going to happen, but you never, ever, ever want to see what happened between Livingston and Kirkland, seeing two guys go head-to-head and almost look like they were going to fight. You know, you never want to see that because they are grown men, and as you said, it just doesn't need to happen there. But now I want to end on a positive note. I like to end every show, Glenn, with my Woman Crush Everyday segment. And today I would like to honor women in the Persian Gulf countries, including Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, because of something happening that I don't know if a lot of people know about, but basically Saudi Arabia announced last month that women will be allowed as spectators and journalists in some of its largest sports stadiums. Yes, people, until recently, women journalists and even watching games, they were not allowed in some of the largest sports stadiums over there. And the move follows the kingdom's decision in 2012, if you guys remember, to send its first female athletes to the Olympic Games. And then if that's not enough positive news for you, for women in those countries, girls in the kingdom will take physical education classes in school for the first time starting next year in 2018. And then Kuwait also recently launched women's basketball, table tennis, and other athletic leagues for the first time. So I think this is great. I think, you know, women are still, of course, fighting for more participation, I think, in this country. But I want to give props to the Persian countries over there for finally giving women at least a chance to be a part of the game. I think it's too late, but I think it's better now, of course, than ever. Because I think once you start it, hopefully it will start a trend. And hopefully girls over there now will, you know, participate in things that they've always wanted to participate in. I mean, what do you think of this, you know, great news, Glenn?
Oh, it's tremendous news. I think I don't care what country it is, you know, mm-hmm. women should have the same exact opportunities and rights that men do, period.
Right.
It's just that simple. It doesn't matter what the occupation is. It doesn't matter if it's sports. It doesn't matter if it's religion. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. anything. I mean, you know, and that goes to race, creed, color, and religion. I mean, everybody should have the same rights as any. No one's better than anybody else. You know, and that's how it should be. So, you know, I think it's a step in the right direction. And, you know, in the countries that have been keeping women or not having the same rights that women do, and, you know, through the years, should really wake up and follow paths. So I think it's a very positive step in the right direction.
I think that's so well said. And hopefully this inspires people to see why we need more advocacy, because not every place is like here, you know, where people or women have opportunities. I think we need to continue the fight. I think it's great, but hopefully we can't let them let up. And we want to continue to encourage women, as you said, not to just get into sports and to get into everything, science, technology, everything. We want women to have equal participation to. And as well as you said, it doesn't matter what you look like, where you're from, your religion, you should always have equal opportunities. But with that being said, Glenn, I want to thank you so much for being my guest on today's show. I had a blast.
Thank you for having me. I did as well. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you so much. And for everyone listening in with K&N, I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every Tuesday and Thursday for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.